This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
The theme of our President's Chapels this year is ordinary individuals who make an extraordinary impact. And so far, we've covered three talks in this series. I started off Convocation, chapter 1 of Mark, and what Mark does is he just introduces out of the blue these no-named people that have this incredible impact, so great that we're still talking about them today, 2,000 years later. So from Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45, we talked about the leper. And then Dr. Beyer, who's out of the country right now, from Mark chapter 2, talked about the paralytic. Then I spoke on Legion. And my favorite verse is when they came to see what had happened, they came to Jesus and they observed the man who had been demon-possessed, clothed and in his right mind, this man who had legion. Today, we're talk number 4, and this is in Mark chapter 6. If you'll be turning there, Mark chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verses 34 through 44. Mark chapter 6, verses 34 through 44, talking about the lad who brought the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Now, as you're turning, let me give the context here. In chapter 6, the first part of the verse, about the first 6 verses, Jesus goes to Nazareth, and when the Sabbath had come, he goes in the synagogue and begins to teach, and the many listeners are astonished at his teaching. And they say to one another, where did this man get these things, and what is this wisdom given to him, and such miracles as these performed by his hands? And then there's a change in the tone of the conversation. And then they begin saying, huh, is this not the carpenter? I mean, this guy just, he repairs rocking chairs down the road here. And they say, catch, the son of Mary. We remember the questionable circumstances surrounding his birth. She said she was a virgin. And we know that's not right. The brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. Are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And he could do no miracles there that day except to lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he wondered at their unbelief. So we go from there, and then he's traveling around, he's teaching in villages, verse 6 or 7, and you get to the next chapter, next paragraph, he summons the 12, and he begins to send them out in pairs. They go out, and they begin to preach the kingdom of God, and they cast out many demons, they anoint many people with oil, and they heal them. And then there's this paragraph. It says, King Herod hears about Jesus because the name of Jesus had become well known. And it's the paragraph where Herod goes and he sends an executioner and he commands him to bring back his head because the daughter of Herodias asked for his head on a platter. And then it gets to verse 30, chapter 6, verse 30. And after they're ministering in pairs, they come back and they report to Jesus all that they had done and taught. In the next verse he says, okay. He doesn't say, okay, but that's my paraphrase. He goes, what's happening, guys? And so then they come, that's the Greek. And so they come to him and he says, listen, I want us to go away by ourselves and rest for a while. Verses, because there's so many people coming and going, they did not even have time to eat. And they get into a boat and they're starting to go away by themselves to rest for a while. Which brings us to verse 33. Verse 33 says, the people saw them going, and many recognized them and ran there together on foot from all the cities and got there ahead of them. Now, from where are they running and to where are they running? They're running from Capernaum, and they're going to Bethsaida. And if this is the northern part of the Sea of Galilee, here's Capernaum, and right over here, just 2 miles away, is Bethsaida. So I always wondered how did they see where they were going and run there ahead of them? Well, it's just a couple miles away. Now, how many have been out to the point? Okay, and you've looked down and saw the bridge that goes across Broad River on I-20. You've seen that? Do you know how far that is? It's about the distance from Capernaum to Bethsaida. Now, that's an elevated position, but you can see they could see quite a ways because you can see cars going on that bridge. So I've always heard this preached come away, especially at ministers' conferences, because we get so busy at times. We need to take time to rest. But guess what happens? Let's go to verse 34. Verse 34 says, "And when Jesus went ashore," so he's gone from Capernaum to Bethsaida. "When Jesus went ashore," and how do we know where we're going? Well, if you look at some of the parallel passages, and all four Gospels deal with this passage we're about to discuss. "When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd," and we're going to find this crowd is really large, "and he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things." They never, ever got to rest. Unless you call the 2-mile boat ride the rest. And maybe this is the origin of Christian cruises. I don't know. Verse 35, it's biblical anyway. Verse 35 to 37. "When it was already quite late, his disciples came to him and said, 'This place is desolate. It's already quite late. Send them away to the surrounding countryside and villages. They may buy themselves something to eat.' But he answered them, he says, 'Nuh-uh, I want you to give them something to eat.'" Now, we don't know this from the Gospel of Mark, but we do know it from the Gospel of John. Philip asked this next question. He says, "Shall we go and spend 200 denarii on bread and give them something to eat?" Now, how much is 200 denarii? A denarius is worth one day's wages. So, for the average, typical American worker, that's about $100 a day, about $500 a week. So, we're looking at around $25,000, $26,000 a year. And so what Philip says, "Shall we take 200 denarii, so 200 denarii times $100, that's what each one's worth, that's $20,000. Shall we take $20,000 and go buy bread in order to give them something to eat?" Now you may think, that's a lot of money. Now, I'm not sure if they had that much money, if Judas was carrying around that much money. He's the treasurer. I doubt it. Or it's perhaps just a hyperbole, it's just exaggeration. Oh my goodness, there's so many people. It would take $20,000 to feed them. Well, I think they're underestimating at that. I have a wedding coming up next Saturday, and I'm telling you, you can't feed a crowd like this on the budget that he just proposed, because we find out later there are 5,000 men who eat from the loaves, just the men. So if you have the women and the children, let's just say there are 10,000 people. He says, here's a budget of 20,000. Here's 10,000 people. Maybe we can feed them on $2 each. Well, listen, that's what I proposed to my wife for the wedding budget. And she made this very insightful comment. She said, "But there's college kids coming from CIU. And I went, "I quit. There's no way. There's just no way. Especially if Seth comes to, you know, to the wedding, because I've seen him eat for six people. I mean, it's just, there's no way." Well, verse 38. "And he said to them, 'How many loaves do you have? Go look.' And when they found out," it says here in Mark, it says they said five loaves and two fish. From John, we find it's Andrew. He comes, he finds this lad. Now, we're talking about these no-name people here in the Gospel of Mark. The no-name person is not even mentioned. But it's five barley loaves and two fish. And he finds him. Now, I don't know what he's thinking. You know, maybe he's thinking, well, you know, I've gone around and looked, and I'm one of the 12. I'm at least bringing back five loaves and two fish. And if each one of us bring that back, you know, 12 of us times five, you know, at least we'll have 60 loaves. We'll have 24 fish. Maybe we can feed a few of them. Now, brings it back, and you can imagine what he's thinking. Here's all I found. Well, verse 39. And Jesus commanded them to sit down to, another version says, to recline in groups on the green grass. And they reclined in groups of hundreds and fifties. And Jesus took the five loaves and the two fish, looking up toward heaven. He blessed the food and he broke the loaves. He kept, I love that. I've skipped over that for years and years and years. He kept giving it to the 12 to serve the people. And then he divided up the two fish as well. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up 12 full baskets of the broken pieces and also of the fish. And there were 5,000 men who ate the loaves. They all ate and were satisfied. That's amazing. Now, this lad, I want us to focus just a moment on this lad. How does he have, after all this time, he still has 5 loaves and 2 fish? I'm thinking, maybe he's kind of a big lad. And his mom said, you know, we need to load you up because I see what you eat. And so he's carrying this, you know, his lunchbox, you know, to hear Jesus teach. And all during the day, he's like at a movie, you know, with popcorn. You know, he's just eating, and now he just has down 5 loaves. I don't know how he has 5 loaves and 2 fish. But I know if I were that lad, here's what I'd be thinking. I'd be thinking just like the folks think at the airport. You get off the airplane, and you've had 12 peanuts. And you're starving. And you'll pay anything. And so you go to the sandwich shop, and you see these big, beefy sandwiches. And you think, man, I would give 10 bucks for that sandwich. I'm starving. So you walk up, you take it off the rack, you put it in the cash register, and they ring up 200 bucks. It's like, I can't believe you're charging $200 for that sandwich. Well, how much money do you have? $10? Well, we have $10 sandwiches. Well, that's what I want. And so they get a little piece of crumb on top and a little piece of meat in the middle, a little piece of crumb, and it's about that big. I mean, you get $10 sandwiches. You know, when you have this many hungry people that can't go anywhere, you can make a lot of money. Now, if I'd been that lad, I'd be looking around going, I bet you I can make some big bucks right now. Just think of all the scholarships we can provide at CIU. But Andrew comes to him. He says, the rabbi's asking us how many loaves we can find. How many fish, you know, I think you have some fish there too. Let's throw those in. And the lad, instead of choosing to make a huge income, or perhaps a small fortune by selling to the highest bidder, instead, he chooses to make a huge impact. You see the difference? And here's how he did it. He took what he had and gave it to Jesus. And Jesus touched it and multiplied the impact. When we offer what we have to Jesus, he makes a difference in the lives of others. And it doesn't matter what you offer him. Your spiritual gifting, your experience, your background, your 5 loaves, your 2 fish, doesn't matter. For example, I've brought some guests with me today. Theodore Hershid, would you come here, please? Theodore and I have known each other since 1998.
Yes.
Theodore is from Moldova in Eastern Europe. And Hershid is from Central Asia. So let me say right up here at front, please don't take any pictures of Hershid. And you'll understand why here. Because where he comes from, the work he's doing, we don't need him to be on any Facebook or any place on the internet. So just for security purposes, please don't take any pictures. Now, I've known Hershid for 3 years? 2 years, 3 years? All right. I want Hershid to talk to us just for a moment. I'm going to ask him some questions on behalf of all of us. And you can translate through the microphones. Hershid, in Central Asia, from where you come, how often do you get to worship like you worship this morning?
Как часто ты прославляешь так, как прославляешь здесь Бога? Так в микрофон говори. Так ближе аж прямо.
Не знаю, может, 3 месяца, 2 месяца, 1 раз.
It's very rare, maybe sometimes once in a 3 months or 4 months, when they get together in a secret place and nobody can see it.
So, praise God, we have the privilege of worshiping like we do, as freely and as often as we do. Now, Hershid, from where you come, there's a lot of persecution. Can you tell us a little bit about the persecution?
Откуда ты приходишь? Откуда ты? Там очень много гонения. Ты можешь рассказать немного об этом?
Да, когда
ближе микрофон.
Мы вместе, когда поклонялись, у меня в глазах были много слез.
When we worship God this morning, I had a lot of tears in my eyes. The same to me.
Это мне очень понравилось вместе прославить нашего Господа.
It is so great to praise God together in a fellowship together in the presence of God.
И мы буквально прошлый месяц тоже 50 верующих так секретно собрались и прославили нашего Господа.
1 month ago, we had 50 Christians come together from different parts of the country and worship God together, and it was an excellent time.
И многие верующие, мои верующие сказали, что они так были рады, что так могли громко. Это все было секретно в горах сделано.
And all of them was just so excited because they was able to worship God together. It was a secret place in the mountains.
Данное время в моем земле бит верующим, это не легко.
Today, to be a believer in our country, it's not easy at all.
Даже иметь две Библии тоже тяжело.
To have two Bibles, it's too dangerous.
И любой, too dangerous.
Любой момент может приходить в ваш дом и забрать... Если найдет у вас религиозные библейские вещи.
It's in any moment you can have police come to your house, and if they find you that you have a Christian literature and two Bibles,
и вам будут штрафы большие.
You will pay a fee.
Если второй раз тоже так найдет вас,
if the second time they will find,
еще больше штрафы.
You pay more fee.
И третий раз уже уголовное дело откроют.
The third time you can go to jail.
Мои много друзья, они платят штрафы.
Many of my followers in Christ at home, they pay fee.
Я тоже в служении всегда.
I'm involved in the ministry full time.
И у меня семья, трое детей.
I have my family and 3 kids.
Я иногда скажу мою семью: если я не вернусь домой, пожалуйста, будьте готовы.
And often I tell my family, if I am not come back today, please be ready for this.
И скажу молитесь, чтобы когда меня если забирает, если служителей забирает, что Бог с ними.
And I tell my family, if the police will take me out, if I will be arrested, be sure that the God is with you. Just continue to follow.
That's very eye-opening. And in light of that context, you are doing a lot of church planting.
Ты в твоем контексте, вы занимаетесь насаждением церквей. И насаждаете много церквей в стране.
You're doing a lot of church planting. That seems like that would be dangerous. Where did you catch your vision for church planting?
Насаждаете церкви. Откуда вы начали вот данное видение, чтобы насаждали больше церквей?
Я 18 лет верующий.
I'm a believer for 18 years.
Я родился в мусульманском семье.
I was born in a Muslim family.
Через чудо я пришел к Богу.
Through the miracles, I get to know the Lord.
Моя сестра евангелизировала меня.
My cousin evangelized me.
когда я хотел убить ее, когда я слышал, что она.
Because I was a Muslim, I want to kill her because she told me about Jesus.
Но она сказала, что она увидела сон.
But she told me that she had a dream.
И сон была такая, что Бог меня любит и Бога есть планы в моем жизни.
In a dream, she saw God telling her that God loves him, Khurshid, and he has a plan for Khurshid.
И я через чудо пришел к Богу.
And God healed him because he was almost dying, and through this miracle, he prayed to Jesus.
Я когда пришел к Богу, я не знал о церкви.
When I knew Jesus, I know any clue about the church.
Но с первых дней Бог работал в моем жизни в церкви.
But from the beginning, the Lord started to work in my life.
И через после меня второй день мама пришла.
On the second day, my mom get to know Jesus.
И после моего покаяния через год я был уже пастором в церкви.
And a year after I became a Christian, I became a pastor already.
У меня дома 30 новых верующих был.
30 new believers get to know Christ after in a year after I became a Christian.
Только мои родственники где-то больше 50 пришли к Богу.
It's more than 50 my relatives already became to know Christ.
И Бог использовал мою семью, чтобы начались домашние церкви.
God started to use my family to start a house group, house churches.
Я тоже 2004 год учился в библейском школе.
I was studying in a Bible school in Chișinău, Moldova, in 2004.
Когда я учился, я хотел вернуться каждый день домой.
Every day when I studied, I wanted to go back home.
Когда меня научили библейские истины, я хотел побыстрее делиться этим моим народом.
When I learned more about the God's principle, Bible principles, I wanted to go back to teach my people.
Я хотел служить моему народу.
I wanted to serve my people.
Я не знал это как делать.
I have no idea how to do.
Я просто хотел делиться
But
этим.
I just wanted to share.
Я вернулся в 2004 год.
I went back in 2004.
Я начал просто служить моим народу.
I just started to serve my people.
Я начал в новом городе жить.
I move and start to live in another city.
Я там тоже начал новые домашние группы.
I started a home group.
И мы познакомились с Федором, в Молдове мы вместе учились.
In Chișinău, he got to know me, who we did a church plant in Moldova.
И наше общение было больше и больше о плантациях новых церквей.
And when we started to talk, I started to talk more about church planting, how he can be involved in the church plant.
Я благодарю Бога, что мы не знаем друг друга.
And I praise God that we can know each one.
Он очень много говорил нам о плантациях церквей.
I was telling them a lot about planting churches.
And how many churches have you been involved launching in the last 2 or 3 years?
Во сколько церквей примерно вы начали последние 2-3 года?
Home groups or home churches?
Yes, yeah. Да. Мы где-то 40 домашних групп начали.
It's more than 40 home house churches we started.
Это не значит, что это большая церковь.
It doesn't mean it's a big church.
Как гонение мы очень секретно.
Because the persecution, we have underground church in the houses.
Мы больше развиваем домашние группы.
We are a house church. We have just a house church.
All right, Theodore. He said he got a lot of the church planting vision from you. And how many churches in Moldova has God used you to help launch?
Since the last 10 years, God used us to bless church planters in Moldova to plant more than 85 churches in Moldova and 15 in Siberia.
That's exciting.
Very exciting.
Praise the Lord, right? Yeah.
Thank you.
Where did you get your vision for church planting?
Well, I have this guy just beside me now on the left side. Do you know him?
I know him.
I get to know Bill Johnson.
I know both of him.
In 1998, yes. And actually, he was the first one who taught me some Bible knowledge in church plant ministry. And actually, I got the vision from Bill Jones. Thank you, Bill. Do you know Bill Jones?
Thank you.
I can introduce you.
No. Kathy, be coming up here, please. Now, where did I get my vision for church planting? was reading a book one Christmas, and I thought, this is my passion. And the next day, I had a friend call me and said, would you like to be involved in helping start a church in Atlanta? So joined the staff of the team, that little church planting team, and thought, this is exciting. We're going to reach people in all of Atlanta. But three graduates from CIU left Columbia and moved to Atlanta and joined our little church plant. And these three young ladies, I like to say it was just the ministry of encouragement, but at times it felt like the ministry of harassment. They kept telling me I didn't have a vision to see Christ made famous among the nations. And they kept talking to me and kept talking to me. And finally, one day, I understood what we say in here, the difference in pancake thinking and waffle thinking. That we had to take the gospel to every tribe, tongue, and nation. And that required people going cross-culturally. So I immediately, after I caught the vision, I applied here to CIU. One of those three young ladies is here to my left, Kathy Cochran Miller. And Kathy, thank you very, very much. Now raise your hand if you didn't know her at the beginning of the chapel. And see, this is what God likes to do. He likes to take the ordinary. Her five loaves and two fish was in the form of words, casting vision, trying to take someone, a young fellow who really wanted to make a difference for Christ, and helping him better understand God's purposes for the nations. I come to this great institution, received an outstanding education, then I wanted to go share it. And I took my five loaves and two fish about 15 years ago, gave them to Theodore. And then Theodore took his five loaves and two fish, shared them with Hershid. Now watch. An ordinary conversation has resulted in 85 churches in Moldova, 15 in Siberia, and over 40 in Central Asia. Who would have ever imagined just a few words would Jesus would keep giving them to the disciples? So, my question for us today is this. See, some of you come here and you go, oh, I can never teach like Dr. Harvey. I can never preach like Dr. Rogers. That's not the issue. We can all be wise stewards of what God's given us and pass it on. And the way God works, you would think you could look back and go, ah, that was the day God used me. Most of the time we don't realize that. I dare say Kathy even remembers the exact conversations we had. I do, because they were harassing me. But God used it. May God use all of our five loaves and our two fish for His honor and glory. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for taking all of us, just ordinary human beings, ordinary individuals. And when we just entrust what we have to you, Lord, we could try to make a big income for ourselves or use it to benefit ourselves. But Lord, when we give it to you, you make a huge impact because you multiply it. Father, do that in each and every one of our lives for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.